Just want to give thanks to the lectureship committee for allowing a young man to be a part of this great event. Amen. Thank you for the opportunity. Isaiah chapter 40, 54, verse number 17 is where our topical text will come from. Isaiah 54 and 17. If you have it, you can say amen.
Amen.
No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn.
Yeah.
This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord.
No weapon
formed against me shall prosper. Let me get at my lesson this way. In Greco-Roman wrestling, one of the challengers begins the event in what is called a disadvantaged position. This person begins on his hands and knees.
All right, sir. All right.
And his job is to free himself,
yes, sir,
from someone who is doing their best to hold him down.
Yeah.
Now, I am not a wrestler. I may look like one, but I am not a wrestler. But I do know a few things about being in a disadvantaged position.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I might not be in the Greco-Roman world, but I know something about trying to get out of something that's trying to hold me down. Well, in our text this morning, Isaiah reminds us that we may begin in a disadvantaged position. But Isaiah reminds us that my situation is not my expectation. So no weapon formed against me shall prosper. See, I've learned that God never meant for us to be defeated, depleted, or deleted. God never meant for us to be broke, busted, disgusted, and never to be trusted. God never meant for us to be frustrated and empty and lonely and heartbroken. As a matter of fact, Jesus said in John 10, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. See, Satan is just like a terrorist. See, when you deal with a terrorist, they plan it over there and then they launch it over here. Y'all missed it. The enemy plans it in hell to be launched on earth. But the Bible still says that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. The enemy may form it, but it does not have to win. Let me say it again. The enemy may form the weapon, but it does not have to win. See, Huntsville in sports, they have what's called a scouting report.
All right.
This report is filled with details telling you the tendencies of your opponent.
All right.
It lets you know the strategy of the other team.
All right,
what they might do or what they may plan to do.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad this morning that the scriptures give us a scouting report on Satan. Here is his scouting report. He wants to deceive God's children. He wants to defeat God's church. He wants to destroy God's word. He wants to denounce God's word. He'll use criticism to try to discourage us, difficulties to frustrate us, circumstances to depress us, sickness to disappoint us, and haters to try to stop us. The devil realizes how much power you have as a child of God, because if you were not a threat, you would not be a target. I said, if you were not a threat, then you will not be a target. That's why he tries to unleash weapons of disappointment, weapons of dismay, discouragement, depression, dysfunction, doubt, denial, and despair in your direction because you are a threat. That's why you got to deal with fake friends and phony supporters. That's why you got to deal with immature folk who try to steal your joy, steal your peace, block your blessings, and upset your mind. Because if they leave you undisturbed, if the devil doesn't give us a fight, then he knows his kingdom is coming down. But can I send a text message to your spirit and tell you, no matter how hard it gets, keep pressing, because your condition is not your conclusion. Can I preach and tell you the good news is that no weapon formed against me shall be able to prosper. See, I've learned that suffering is unavoidable, but misery is optional.
Look out.
Suffering is unavoidable, but misery is optional. Just because you are suffering don't mean you got to be miserable. You can make up your mind to say, yes, I'm going through some things, but I'm not going to let the devil steal my joy. I wish I had a witness that knows that God can take our problems and turn them into possibilities. God can take our obstacles and turn them into opportunities. God can take our haters and make them our elevators. God can take our mess and turn it into a message, and our test into a testimony. God can turn our trials into triumph, a victim into a victor. God can take what was against you, and God can use it to advance you. The people that meant to hurt you, God can use them to help you. They dug ditches for you, but God bridged it over. People tried to tear you down, but God kept lifting you up. God has brought you from a mighty long way, because what was meant for your evil, God turned it around for your good. Anybody know you can't worry about the validation of others? It's not about what they say. It's about what God says. God has been too good to you for you to walk around with no joy just because other folk ain't got no joy. I don't have time to wait for you to approve it or like it. I don't have time. I can see my own blessing. I know it's on the way, and ain't gonna let anybody stop me from getting it. God is about to overturn what has happened in your life. So you might say I can't, but God says I can. Because baby, you're walking around here talking about they holding me down, they holding me back, they riding my back. Well, I stopped by to tell you, can't nobody ride your back unless you bend it over and give it to them. Preach there, Ma. Reminds me of a story of a man who didn't believe in God. He thought that everybody who believed in God, who had never seen him, was foolish, naive, and silly to believe in a God they had never seen before. So he lived next door to a lady who loved the Lord. She made up her mind she was going to praise God in spite of what she was going through. So she had a praise pattern. Every morning she would walk out of her house, lift up her hands, look up at the sky, and say, I love you, Lord, and I thank you. That began to bother her neighbor, that every day she would walk out the house, lift her hands, look up at the sky, and say, I love you, Lord, and I thank you. She would look up at the sky. Churchy would get upset and say, ain't nobody out there. You need to stop all that praise stuff. But she kept going outside, lifting her hands, saying, I love you, Lord, and I thank you. The neighbor knew she was going through some hard times. She had lost a job. She was having financial difficulties. Couldn't hardly pay her bills. Even had lost some family members. But every day, she kept going outside, lifting her hands, looking up at the sky, and say, I love you, Lord, and I thank you. The man got sick of her. Said, I'm tired of all this praise stuff. Can't nobody be that happy all the time. I'm going to prove to her there is no God. He said, I'm going to end all this stuff. So he went to the grocery store, bought 6 bags of grocery, and waited that night, left the groceries on her porch. Next morning, she came out with the same praise pattern. Lifted her hands, looked up at the sky, said, I love you, Lord, and I thank you. Man jumped out the bushes, said, lady, I got you now. There ain't no God. I bought you these groceries. She kept on praising God. While she was putting the groceries up, the neighbor got confused. Said, later, I told you, I paid for these groceries. God didn't do this for you. Later, said, I'm shouting, because not only did God give me the groceries, but he made the devil pay for it. I wish I had a witness in here. See, when you realize that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. What was meant to break you, God can use it to bless you. If you don't mind, just allow me 5 minutes. Allow me 5 minutes to give you the context. Because here in the book of Isaiah, the prophet has a word for the people of God. Now come here so you can see what I see. The Lord's promise is based on condition. Somebody say condition. See, if you want the blessing, you got to meet the condition. Because I need to tell you, you will look foolish standing on a promise that don't belong to you. See, you can't just take stuff out of the Bible and start naming it and claiming it without understanding it. Because a lot of folk have named it and claimed it, but never obtained it because they read the text but didn't understand the context. Isaiah, whose name literally means our Savior of the people, the Lord is able to save. He writes during a time where Judah was going to be punished for their sins and end up in captivity. So Isaiah pleads with them. Y'all need to come back to God. And here in chapter 54, Isaiah is prophesying about the future of Israel and how they will be redeemed. In verses 1-5, he gives them the plan. Let me just say plan. That God would increase his kingdom. Yes, and when the Savior comes, he would establish the church where both Jews and Gentiles could be saved. Right. In verses 6-10, he tells of their place. He says Israel was like a wife who had been rejected and thrown away, but he would show mercy and kindness. And then in verses 11-17, he shares the promise that as long as they stayed with God, that nothing could come against them and destroy them. He says there's not even a tongue that could rise against them in judgment. That's why all of us at some point, you got to choose what will guide your life. What they meant or what God meant.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I'm about to help somebody right here because I'm amazed about the number of people who live their life every day shaped by what somebody else spoke into their life. You remember in Numbers 13 when 12 spies were sent out and 10 came back with a negative report. Watch this. They said we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. They looked at the sons of Anak, the giants, and compared to them, They were grasshoppers. Watch this. They looked outward and saw greatness. They looked inward and saw grasshoppers. Had they looked upward, they would have seen God. Because God is greater than anything we may come against. The sons of Anak may have been bigger than the children of Israel, but God was still bigger than the giants. But see, here's the problem. They wanted to claim the land, but the problem was they were making people big and God small. Let me go ahead and drop something in your spirit and tell you something. Sometimes we make a habit of making people big and God small. Somebody here may be making people big and God small. Maybe you got a supervisor who rides you, strikes fear in your heart. Maybe you have friends who you know are not really your friends. You know they're no good for you. They are miserable and they want to keep you miserable. You're making people big and God small. But can I encourage you? At some point, you can't follow the crowd. You got to learn that what God has for me, it is for me. See, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. You need to learn. You got to be careful who you give your nouns to. Okay, y'all not in here. I said you got to be careful who you give your nouns to. Let folk fool around with your verbs, but don't let them give you your nouns. See, a noun is a person, place, or thing. A noun defines who you are. A verb just describes action. It describes what you did. And you can let folk describe what you did. But don't let folk assign nouns to you and define who you are. Because no weapon formed against me shall be able to prosper. Let me put the cheese on the cracker by telling you, like Isaiah told Israel, I'm going to stay with God's plan, surrendering to his will. I'm going to stay in God's place, the church, so I can receive God's promise. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. I just want to encourage somebody this morning. I want you to walk in the promise of the Lord, because you got the victory, and the world can't do us no harm. I'm walking in my blessings. What are your blessings, preacher? Can I preach for a minute? My blessings is an acceptance that can never be questioned, an inheritance that can never be lost, a grace that can never be limited, a hope that can never be disappointed, a faith that can never be diminished, a nearness that can never be reversed, a peace that can never be disturbed, a salvation that can never be canceled, a source I can always depend on, a friend I can always trust in, a love that can't be measured, a joy that can't be stolen, and hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, a praise that can never be silenced. I'm walking in my blessings. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Let me land the plane by telling somebody, stop worrying, stop panicking, stop stressing, stop tossing and turning, stop getting gray hair before your time. Can I close and tell you, just like the old preachers used to say, it was God that woke you up this morning, started you on your way. It was God that restored your mind, put food on your table. We need to keep thanking, trusting, and leaning on God. Now is not the time to walk around sad, complaining, about to have a nervous breakdown, talking about how bad you got it. God is our Father. Jesus is our Savior. Holy Ghost is our power. Heaven is our home. Greatness is our heritage. Joy is our possession, and victory is our destiny. So get your shoulders straight. Get your head up. Put a smile on your face, because God will fight your battles. Because while you're trying to figure it out, God has already worked it out.
Boy, that brother Thelma.
Ooh-wee.